And welcome to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I have with me Waterfall Adams, who also goes by The Voonie. And I'd love it if you could introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
My pen and stage name is Waterfall Adams. I'm a creative professional who self-published 2 poetry books, The Eclectic Mind of Z and Free to Be Z. They're available on Amazon and other outlets. They're available on the ebook and the paperback format. And I'm trying to keep the audiobook written together.
Yes, that's wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your poetry books are about and what inspired you to start writing poetry?
The Eclectic Mind of Z is about the arts, blackness, 21st century issues. And there's also some personification poems in there. Mm-hmm. Free to Be is about womanhood, race, religion, freedom. It even has a tribute poem to one of my poetic inspirations and some quotes by yours truly and other people. All credit goes to the other people.
Can you expand on those role models? Who are they?
My poetic inspiration is like Maya Angelou and Lex News.
And can you tell us a little bit about how you've incorporated elements of what they do into your writing?
They write about being what it's like to be Black in the times that they live in. And I wrote about like my own everyday life, what's going on in the world and the times that I'm living in.
And the times that you're living in, can you expand more about on this racial adversity that you face?
Like the 21st century, like what's been going on with Black people in the United States of America in the 21st century. My poems right here from the Eclectic Mind of Z. Like racism spread like on social media. When one called Have We Now Learned Anything at All? I thought we moved beyond the one drop rule. I thought we moved beyond the paper bag test. I thought we moved beyond the pencil test. I thought we moved beyond having combs at the doors of a church. Hashtag team light skin. Hashtag team brown skin. Hashtag team dark skin. Don't you realize that this is a system used to divide, conquer, and destroy an entire people? It's bad enough when other people judge us by the tints and tones of our skin, but it's even worse when we do it to ourselves.
And so you seem to be drawing off of a lot of this racial being Black. May I ask, are you Black? And how has that impacted your writing? Because you seem to write a lot about being a Black woman. I'm assuming that you are. And just how you have experienced life through that lens.
I am African-American. I have my own experience that will go on in the world. This poem, it deals with horrorism. It's something that my own mother experienced. For example, like, they have lighter skin, but my mother has, like, and it's one thing, it's, like, real messed up what she went through. Because somebody's skin is, like, darker, they have a hard time with, like, certain opportunities.
Can you give me some specific examples or just expand on that a little bit more?
Like a race, like for example, like during like slavery time, it's like the lighter hue work in the house while the darker ones were working the field. Mm-hmm. Times Pro ended in 1865. It's like the having like your looks is like the mainstream since it like the Black people like getting out of like the plantation and as they have to go out and look for a job. With straightening comb and certain organizations, they have the paper bag test. Well, if your skin is the shade of a paper bag or lighter, you're in. Mm-hmm. If you're darker than that paper bag, you don't get in.
Yes. No, and throughout your poetry, how have you been able to convey that? And you were saying that your poetry also touches on womanhood. Can you elaborate on that?
Let's see right here. Let me check out on Free to Be. An example of this on my poems right here. This one is called Angry Black Woman. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm mad. Yes, I'm pissed off. Somebody called the police. This Black woman has lost her mind. But here is why. I'm angry because my kids got sold. I'm mad because I'm on the bottom of the totem pole. I'm pissed off because the police killed my husband. Whenever a white woman is angry, people listen. But whenever a black woman gets angry, it's a stereotype. The thing that is, the Black woman has been through too much. She has lost her humanity and her sanity.
No, I love just the portrayal of that and the narrative there. Can you tell me how you got into writing poetry?
Well, didn't write poems for like guy friends in high school, like it was for their birthday. And also, I did also want to write a book one day, just didn't know about what. University of South Alabama, South for short, they were the like performing arts department or whatever. They will have this event called Arts Inspired Road to Creation. And I wrote a poem that was on, no one got on their program, but it's also in my first book, The Eclectic Mind of Z. And I always did want to write a book one day, just didn't know about what. And I just had this collection of poetry that I had done spoken word. And I wrote more to fill the books out. And here we are. I didn't pick any to discard, but I just wrote some poetry. I just didn't know what to call the book. I didn't really have a title for the book. And I know poetry is about different things, and we're eclectic. That means a range of different things. And first book, and also I had to learn about what publishing I wanted to do and what works for me. Like self-publishing, I learned I have more like creative like control and flexibility. And with the marketing, I received help from Precious Digital Marketing Agency. I had to learn more about self-publishing in the 21st century digital age that we live in.
Yes, and especially with self-publishing a book today, you need to concentrate a lot on the marketing aspect of it. Have you done other interviews before other than this podcast? And have you also done marketing or promotional content just to get your writing out there heard and just cultivate an audience for it?
I have been doing these interviews. Whenever a poetry event where they have a brief open month, I was poem from one of my books. I would ask the audience, which poem you want me to choose? I'll read it. And I plan on doing book signings, book reading, my own poetry show, virtual and or out in public. And I have to offer copies of my books and pay for venue fees if I have.
Yes. Are there any poems that resonated with your audience when you were doing these open mics or just sharing your work?
I just share my work, resonate with my audience, and I go through my book depending on what they want me to read from, and I read it whatever might be appropriate for the occasion.
And what selection of poems do you have? Because you said it's eclectic, so you obviously have a range of different topics that you're discussing. How do you pick out the ones that will relate and be relevant to your audience?
Depending on where I'm performing, I gotta watch my language. Some I do not. It all depends.
Yes.
I think probably in my first and second book, I said something about there's profanity in this book.
And where do you get your inspiration for your writing? Because you said that it was a lot from being a Black woman, but do you get other sources of inspiration?
My own everyday life and what's going on in the world and the times that I'm living in.
And can you expand on that a little bit more? Just tell me more if there's one poem that you wrote that was about a specific experience.
Okay, I'm trying to see either it's the Eclectic Mind of Freedom, Free to Be Z. It's called In My Lifetime. Let me find it first. If I don't see it in the Eclectic Mind of Z, it might be in Free. See, in my lifetime, I am a millennial, and there's like things I see in my lifetime. Like, for example, lifetime. Free to Be started in my lifetime. I never thought I would see the day a Black man will be leader of the free world. I never thought I would live in a world that is something out of a dystopian novel. I never thought I would be living in quarantine, all because of the world's most deadliest pandemic and global shutdown. I never thought that I would see a Black man's death, police brutality goes viral, a shortage in coin. I never thought I would see people quit their jobs in large amounts. But hey, I never thought I was to see a Black man become POTUS, it means President of the United States. I said I would never see a Black woman become the POTUS, Vice President of the United States, and a Black woman becoming a Supreme Court judge of the United States of America. Thank you.
No, I love that. That's very empowering to Black women, Black men, Black people, the African American community in general. I'm just wondering, are there specific examples of how you've experienced racial setback in your life, and have you written about that?
No, I haven't. I remember I was a senior in high school, like a hurricane was happened where we had to evacuate. And I remember we were at a gas station and I was accused of stealing a candy bar. The person was like working there was Asian. I paid for it. My mom was about to go off, but somebody there calmed my mama down.
And so with your poetry and your writing, you seem like you touch on a lot of societal issues. Is that something that you do purposefully, or does it just happen? It just comes out when you see something on the news that just it fills a void in your heart, or something that you disagree with? Do you go to a notebook, a piece of paper, start jotting that down? Or how does your poetry process start?
Sometimes what happened on the news, for example, one of my blogs, I wrote about what happened on January 6, 2001, where that insurrection happened. Yeah, Trump was all about, like, building a wall to keep people out the country. But then there were people climbing over the walls. And then I was thinking, what if there was, like, mostly, like, Black and brown people, like, people of color that did that? There would have been a lot of shootings and a lot of deaths. And also how they walked in a straight line through the velvet ropes and got in the meeting room where the politicians are in the Capitol. It was like mostly people who are non-Caucasian.
And you speak about all this racial adversity. Would you say that your poetry is very politically influenced?
Some of it is, and some of them is about the arts. For example, Free the DZ had more of a revised version. It's about the history of African-American dance. I might break down some lines if we got time.
Yes, we have time. You can go ahead.
As a people, we have to dance. Way back in the motherland, we always have to dance. In times of joy, sadness, to heal and rites of passage, we have to dance. It wasn't me like the motherland as in the continent that is Africa. It was filled with different countries and different peoples, but they have their own unique dances. Some dances probably only done by women, some done by men, some done by children, and they're used for different purposes and occasions. And here's some more lines. Through times of enslavement, we still have the dance. Even when they try to take it away, we dance to the show. And this is on slavery times. It's like certain dances, like the African slaves, they could not do because the dances from Africa, from the Euro status quo, was looked at like primitive. Mm-hmm. And like inappropriate or vulgar because the African dancers use hidden movement isolations. In fact, twerking is based on a dance called the pole. It's been around since before hip hop. Now here's some more lines. Oh, and that's what through the shade is. There's a dance called cakewalk. It like mocks the Euro aesthetic of dance.
Mm-hmm.
The jig joints to the migration, we had to dance. Through depression and worldwide war, we had to dance. Now we're from the end of slavery and going into the 20th century. If you ever watched The Color Purple or The Great Debaters, you'll find juke joints there. Mm-hmm. And like Owls in the Woods, a lot of dancing going on there. And the migration is the Great Migration. That's when Black people from the South, they moved different places in the country for their opportunities, like as west as California, as Midwest as Chicago, as north as New York. And like the Harlem Renaissance and the Great Depression, the Worldwide War, like was time to pay the rent, as in they had like rent parties where they charged people to party with them, and that money that was collected goes towards the rent. And
yes,
in the dance studios and South Hots, we have the dance. On television and through civil unrest, we have the dance. Live and in color, we can get smooth, we can get rough. Live and in color and integrated. Through the Soul Train days and the disco nights. Now we're in the 1950s and 60s. This is like the advent of television, a time where the civil rights movement. But you saw how dark his skin was. Like, for example, people in the South found his dark skin to be offensive for television. So it was a clip where they had a horrible makeup job that made him look lighter. And also around town, like Frankie Lyman and the teenagers, it's like a certain show, like Alan Freed show. Frankie Lyman danced with a white girl, and the show got canceled. And also around that time, let's say like the Motown acts where their dance moves were smooth.
Yes.
And then acts like James Brown and Tina Turner back when she was like, I can Tina Turner review like her dance move, then how she like at the time she was like considered unladylike. And then 1970s Soul Train, wait, but there's also that was the American Bandstand and Soul Train.
Mm-hmm.
The disco nights, and around the 70s is when the hip hop was started in 1973 in the Bronx.
Yes. No, I love how all your poetry draws from a lot of hip hop culture and art and dance. And I love that poem, how in times of crisis, in times of just downfalls, the tribulations and trials that you faced, that you can turn to dance, music, and even just the African-American culture in general.
Now, since the rest is on, was BTV, VH1, I forgot to mention the box. So social media, we have to dance. Now, we're in the 1980s to right now in the 21st century. One of the ways I learned how to dance was watching music videos. And then social media, whatever dance is trending, the younger generation could go on social media. In fact, I remember when YouTube first started, I was in my senior year, my final semester in high school, and also how Beyonce, Single Lady Dance, how that really went viral.
So it's a classic.
Yep. At Broadway, church, the club, community centers, Hollywood, television, social gatherings, universities all over the world, we have the dance. We even put our spin on it. And these parts is like African American dance. It's not usually learned in a formal setting like jazz dance or ballet dance. It's like different places in our like community dances. Like it's praise dance at church. Community centers were like youth events, like youth dances. Hollywood, like in movies, television, like doing television shows. Social gatherings, let's say like a prom or a cookout. Universities like the HBCU marching bands, like all over the world. They weren't just dropped off in the United States. They were dropped off in South America, the Caribbean, in Europe, Canada. They spend on where they are, create their own kind of unique dance culture.
Yes. No, continue.
At the end, because of this, I shake what my ancestors gave me and get my Jackson on. So to the future and beyond, we have to dance. Thank you. Now, those last lines, like shit what my ancestors gave me, I can't unbelievable. This poem has been inspired by a book by Barbara S. Glass, like African-American dance, like an illustrated history. And Jackson, I gotta mention like the Jackson family, the African-American dance. And
yes.
We still have a dance, no matter what the future might bring.
No, that's such a powerful poem. I love how you make all those allusions to different Black public figures, such as you mentioned Nat King Cole, you mentioned the Jackson 5, Michael Jackson, you mentioned Tina Turner, and that's amazing how you're able to combine that all into a poem and be able to convey this message of dancing, of being immersed in this African-American culture, enjoying that form of art.
Yes, well, thank you very much. Like, I do pull on adapting the stage in the screen. It's just a lot I have to do. Like, I gotta do a lot of research on the dances, of course, the music of those times, like costumes, like what they wore back then, different settings, how to go about adapting this, like, stage in the screen, because, like, for the stage, for example, like with dance theater, like the Nutcracker, Alvin Ailey, like dance theater, Harlem, like most of those type of theaters, it's like the dance through the talking, not much monologue, if you catch my drift.
Yes.
Those, like musicals where it's going to be dancing in between them, there's going to be some dialogue.
Yes.
This kind of theater stage and how to go about this and props and costumes and things. For the screen, got to get permits and other research and do location scouting if I have to have a green screen or something.
Yeah, there seems like there's a lot of research involved in this entire process.
Probably a few years. It really got to do the research. don't know, want nobody to sue me. I also got to raise money. For example, these theater arts, it's a collaborative art. It is teamwork involved.
Yes.
A lot of teamwork. Go ahead, Toon Tribes.
Oh, yes. No, I was just saying you were talking about teamwork and collaboration. Did you do any of that with your poetry or your writing, or was it just more doing the research component of it?
Well, this one, do the research component of it. I have performed this a little few times. Yeah, see, like my degree, the minor part of my degree, which is dramatic arts, being put in a good use.
Yes. I want to wrap up this episode. Do you have a website that people can check out, or where are you selling your book? You go by Waterfall Adams. So if you could just shout out to your channel, that would be wonderful.
Okay. I would like to give a shout out to Precious Digital Marketing Agency. They've been helpful with my marketing personal of my books. I am on Facebook, formerly known as Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, Pinterest. They both have the handle AZONI159. YouTube, which is Waterfall VEE. TikTok, Waterfall Adams 80. Oh, Instagram, Waterfall. No, wait a minute. Okay, let me start again. Instagram, VE, Waterfall Adams. And I'm also on LinkedIn with my full government name on there. I'm a black woman wearing braids and purple makeup on. Because there's plenty, like I said before, I'm going by Waterfall Adams, because there's plenty of people with my full government name.
Yes. Thank you so much. And if you want more episodes like this, then please do share it with a friend or family member. And also, if you could leave a quick review, it would be wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we hope to see you next time.
Bye-bye.